You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
You know, we're not the only podcast made up of two fucking white dudes talking about bullshit that doesn't matter. But we listen to more NPR than you.
Oh, you did it.
I fucking turned that around.
Also, I want to see that podcast with fucking white dudes. Dudes, this is not good. I already hate this one.
You're too drunk, Ryan.
I know.
Ryan!
God damn it.
Hey, buddy. You and I went to the movies 2 days ago.
Yep.
Hey, buddy, co-host who I rely on to pick up slack. What movie did we see 2 days ago?
Oh, man. We saw Logan.
Yeah, we did. We saw Logan.
This is not going to be an episode.
Who did it star? I'm going to bring you back down with me. Who did Logan star?
Starred Hugh Jackman.
As?
Wolverine.
And?
James Ratcliffe.
That's who you go with next?
It's not his name.
Who the fuck is James Ratcliffe?
What is James Howlett?
There we go.
Is Wolverine's
name. I was meaning and as in other actors. It also starred
Patrick Stewart
playing
Picard.
Picard.
Make it so.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard. The dude's got a fucking rock hard dong.
All right.
All right.
I'm back in it.
There we go. All right. Else? Who else did it? Wait.
Butt crack.
Who did he? He's got a high butt crack. It's a medical condition. Don't make fun of it. You fucking
menaces. Hey, everybody. This is sound engineer Andrea again.
I apologize.
Nobody tells anybody who I am, but yeah. I'm here. It's good to see you, everybody.
Thanks,
and that's Andy. It. Back to you guys.
For running everything. So Patrick Stewart, he plays
Charles Xavier.
Yes, who is a cripple.
Is that where you go?
Yeah, I mean... That's the most
not the leader of the X-Men and
well, he's not anymore in Logan.
Technically, he's leading the only X-Men around. Emotionally and spiritually, I'm right.
And it's also got
Daphne Keene.
Okay,
who is a newcomer? She plays X-23, which we won't spoil right away, I guess. But
spoiler alert: I thought she did a pretty good job.
Yeah, she was very good.
And finally,
very, very good.
Also starring.
The fuck are you going with here?
He was in An Idiot Abroad. He's an English fellow.
Carl Pilkington. I love that.
No,
man.
I wish it was Carl Pilkington. Could you imagine if it was Carl?
It'd just be like a guy. Said, listen, I'll bald albino guy complaining about the trivial
Everything.
Things in life.
Why am I going to help you, Logan? I would never help you. You fucking prick.
There's a nappy walking around.
No.
Carl Pilkington
stars Stephen Merchant.
Yes, Stephen Merchant.
As
Caliban.
Caliban.
A mutant whose power is to track other mutants.
Yeah.
That's real D-list Marvel.
Now, this is not... I was a bit confused, but I think I've clarified. So in X2...
Okay. Oh, shit. This is going to be hard. There's 9 X-Men movies, and they all vary in quality and intelligence.
They don't vary in quality and... It's a trackable fucking thing. They start really great and then continually decrease.
I don't know if I agree with that.
What's better than X2?
X-Men First Class.
Okay.
Days of Future Past. Those are all the top 3 X-Men movies.
Days
but like
of
that's
Future
what I'm
Past,
saying.
I don't
it's very
know
up
about
and down.
It yet.
What do you mean? Have you seen it?
Yeah. I like
what do you
First
mean you
Class?
Don't know about?
It's good.
Yeah, it's very good.
But I think First Class is better.
Yeah, I agree. But X-Men First Class is very different. X-Men First Class does not belong in the universe that the X-Men set up. It is Matthew Vaughn doing something very playful and creative.
It also has...
But Days of Future Past is like a return to that X-Men 1 and 2. But like they're finally X-Men. Like that opening scene in Days of Future Past with like Blink and the portals and Iceman and Pyro, like fighting all these. It wasn't Pyro, it was Sunfire, it was the Asian one.
Yep.
But you know, you get to see all these mutants without glasses on, and it's really good in the camera, when these actors don't wear glasses.
First Class also has quite possibly a tie, but maybe a close second to my favorite after credits scene.
First Class?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the after credits scene in First Class.
It is Xavier and Magneto walking up to Wolverine in a bar.
Nope.
That's not First Class?
That's Wolverine. That's the Wolverine in Japan.
I swear to God, I thought that was First Class because it was after they'd formed it and they go up and they're telling Wolverine. Is it? No, because I saw it. And I didn't see Wolverine in theaters.
I don't know. Maybe you saw online separately, but it's 100% the Wolverine.
Maybe that is it. I was about to call it. But anyway.
Wait. If you want to challenge me on a Marvel movie.
I don't.
Go ahead and call me on it.
I don't. I would say you know better. So what is the stinger in First Class then?
I don't think there is a stinger. That movie just fucking ends because Matthew Vaughn isn't playing by the Marvel rule set in that movie. And really, in general, the studios weren't putting singers in movies up until Marvel became really big. And that was like that
I
summer
guess
was
right,
like the first Thor movie and X-Men First Class. So like they weren't Marvel wasn't mainstream enough yet. But like now that Marvel like it was around the Wolverine 2000.
And also, First Class, 13. I take it back because that ends with Xavier being paralyzed, doesn't it?
Yes.
And he wouldn't be walking
with
around. So, okay.
Rose Byrne. Rose Byrne shot him.
Pow. Yeah. Okay.
Pow, pow.
Never mind. Still, I love that stinger when they walk up to him in the bar.
Yeah, that's great. The Wolverine's great. I'd also put that up there in the top movies because I really like the origin story. It wasn't an origin story, but it was a story that took place in Wolverine's past and future, his time going to Japan. All very fascinating. You have why I was excited about this movie was you don't have just mutants like standing around shooting people with lasers. It's fist to fist fighting. It's like choreography. It's good action that you can kind of relate to instead of just like, oh, this is obviously a bunch of stuff they did in CG after the fact with people just standing around set pretending to do this. And that is not interesting to me. X-Men Apocalypse.
Even though I like
X-Men
that guy.
X-Men Apocalypse.
Wait, I like the original Cyclops.
James Marsden?
Yes.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Like James Marsden.
Well,
a whole
they
lot.
Found interesting ways to work with that character and the stuff. Like, James Marsden was also very physical. Like, I remember he had a fight scene with Mystique, right? In, like, X2, where he's using his body. In X-Men Apocalypse, he literally just stands around.
Who?
And does this.
Is the better Mystique?
Well, that is a loaded question.
I don't. Out of the two, it's not very loaded.
Rebecca
Romijn, Jennifer Lawrence.
The better actress is obviously Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
And I would argue they give
who is the better actress.
They give her Mystique more to do. So if you actually want a character, you go to the new one.
Who do you enjoy as Mystique more?
If you're talking about just pure visually,
I'm asking you, Ryan.
Because whenever she transformed into a human, she was always half or almost naked. It's Rebecca Romijn Samos.
So is that your choice?
Eh.
I've just Googled some images. I'm going to have to definitely go Rebecca Romijn.
Rebecca Romijn is my choice.
Like
that's my point.
I know what Jennifer Lawrence looks like.
Yeah.
She's way prettier.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care how she
if
acts.
We're going
she's
like,
way prettier.
I enjoy Rebecca Romijn
if
as
we're
Mystique.
Going pretty woman. Rebecca Romijn. Are you talking about performance? Are you talking about depth of character? Like, there are many ways you can interpret this question.
I also like visually, and this is not, take it as you will, a sexual way or even an erotic way. I like the way Rebecca Romijn's Mystique looks visually compared to Jennifer Lawrence because I feel there's I think Jennifer Lawrence's is a lot more CGI based. Whereas
yeah.
Rebecca Romijn's is a lot more practical makeup.
It's because she can't act.
Almost 99% of the time.
I don't know who you're referring to,
but
yes.
I'll agree. Yes, yes.
I guess I don't know. I don't necessarily see it.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's fine.
That's
like she's
fair.
A great looker. I'll give
who?
You that. And X3 when she shifted down and she was naked in the truck, was I excited? Yes.
Which
won't refute that.
Which one? Who told you to like Jennifer Lawrence more?
Oh, my God.
On NPR.
Is this really what we're doing here?
No, I don't know.
This is what we're doing here.
I want to move on. Fuck it.
Table flip. What are we even fucking talking about
today?
We're
supposed to talk about Logan.
This is not good.
But we've gotten into X-Men. You had a question you wanted to ask.
I don't even remember what that was.
Well, I remember it for you. Thank God we are co-hosts.
Oh, my God. How long? Wait. Seriously, though. How many minutes have we been talking?
9 minutes?
Yeah, it's fine.
We've had 9 minutes of not even intro topic yet.
Time stretches. When you're in the Blade Runner universe.
I don't think this episode's going to get recorded.
No, it's great. Ryan. Who?
Okay.
Of all time. Who of all time?
Thank you, quality assurance sound engineering.
In the entire universe of their story.
Yes.
Who is your favorite X-Man?
This is a tough question.
I knew it would be.
Because I'm a nerd and I read X-Men comics. So like I can get obscure and obtuse and pick out some random thing just to do. But it's not going to be fun for everybody.
Yeah, why are you stroking your fucking nerd dick?
The answer is Gambit.
Right? No.
The answer is Gambit.
God, get the fuck out of here.
If Casey Ruder was here, it would be Gambit.
Get the fuck out of here.
But I disagree.
Yeah.
I disagree.
It's really... It's only because of most of the stuff she's doing now, but Kitty Pryde.
All right, fair enough,
Shadowcat.
Man.
Shadowcat's
pretty kick-ass.
Yeah,
I don't associate her so much with X-Men as I do with Spider-Man.
Well, that's the cool thing about Kitty Pryde. Yeah. She populated like a lot of Marvel books.
She's everywhere.
She was one of Peter Parker's first girlfriends.
She's also the woman in white in Old Man Logan, is she not?
I wouldn't know about that.
I'm pretty sure she is. She's one of the last...
In the comic books?
Yes, in the comic
books. Oh, yeah. Okay, that might be true.
I think she owns like one of the last mutant sanctuaries. I'm almost positive it's Kitty White.
Kitty Pryde.
Kitty Pryde, sorry.
Kitty Pryde.
She's the lady in white. I got confused. And I'm drunk.
I stopped reading Old Man Logan halfway through.
I know you did.
We
talked about
dig
this
it.
Before.
So I don't know what you're even referring to.
I dug it because there's a lot of Hulk in it. So anyways, please continue.
You can get Hulk everywhere now. Kitty Pryde. Kitty Pryde's my favorite. She's a little bit more known than some of the more obscure ones because she was played by Ellen Page in X-Men 3 and Days of Future Past. So you've seen her on the screen at least. But her power is she can phase through things.
Which is pretty badass.
At most times she has like a little psychic pet dragon with her, which is fucking weird and obscure. You're not going to see that in a fucking movie. But it gives her character like some levity, but they also have her like have some really cool arcs for comic fans like myself. The Astonishing X-Men run, which is notable because it was written by Joss Whedon in 2003, 2004, before he did Avengers. There was a really fantastic arc that ended with Kitty Pryde having to sacrifice herself by phasing a giant missile that would have destroyed a planet or something. And then getting stuck in it and having to keep constantly phasing. And she sacrificed herself to save the whole planet. There's like really cool things with her character. And now...
Thanks, Kitty Pryde.
Yeah. And now she's part of the Guardians of the Galaxy. And she's in a relationship with Peter Quill. And this is the ongoing story. And I think it's fantastic. Like, I love seeing her in these space adventures. I think now she is... actually the leader or one of, like the higher ups in the Guardians.
Dude, Peter Quill's cheating on Green Girl.
This not is the cool thing. Bro. In the comics know, they like I briefly know. Flirted and that you. Was it.
Yeah.
I don't know you. What they're doing with the movie, but like it's cool. It's a different thing. That's a thing. These movies and comics, they can be different. I don't want to fucking hear that the Mandarin ruined Iron Man 3.
You're retarded if you
it was
so
fantastic.
Anyways,
it was a good twist and it fooled you dumb fucking comic
And also
nerds.
If you fucking cause a stink because Iron Fist is played by a white guy, you are the fucking problem with the
and
world.
And you're dumb because
you
he was
are
always
so
a white guy.
Fucking dumb. You're the fucking stupidest person on this planet. I don't even want to talk to you.
Yeah. Unsubscribe.
So.
Unsubscribe.
There we go. Anyways, moving on.
I think all of our episodes should incorporate unsubscribe from us, please. Like, please just stop following us.
Please do not listen.
Just
to
don't
us.
Listen. Stop.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
You can give us a 5-star review, but I'd rather give you a 1-star review. Give
do
it
not,
to us.
Do not give us 1 stars. I'm not going to beg for anything, but please don't give us
Kyle,
ones.
I'm going to beg you to tell me what is your favorite X-Men?
Well, during
surprising no one. Go ahead.
Probably be Gambit.
All right, all right, all right. We already partially discussed this off mic.
We did partially discuss
it. Which is not something we often do.
We fought partially. We sparsely.
Well, you gave me shit, but I hold true to this. Since I fucking first discovered the X-Men when I was in fourth grade, my favorite character to this day has always been Wolverine. I fucking love Wolverine. I did as a kid. I thought he was kick-ass. But we don't want to hear about that because it's fucking generic. People will think I'm the hipster because fucking Wolverine is everybody's favorite character, which is bullshit. I put in that time. I bought Wolverine comics. I bought X-Men comics, but I also bought Wolverine comics. But anyways, I will go ahead and give you my second favorite X-Men to create some interesting discussion.
Is it Nightcrawler?
Nightcrawler is a very close third, I will be honest. Okay. I do like Nightcrawler a lot.
That would have maybe been my second.
But honestly, my second favorite character in the X-Men team is Rogue.
That's a good answer.
I fucking love Rogue because of the fact that Rogue can take on any role that she needs to, but at the risk of hurting those that she cares about. But she can also use that power to take bad guys' powers and, number one, fuck them up, and at the same time, gain a pretty fucking kick-ass power for a limited time.
Yeah.
She's like the Kirby of the X-Men world.
She is. That's a really good analogy.
I like Rogue.
Have you put thought into this?
Yes, I have. That's good. I really enjoy Rogue. Good. She kicks ass. Third little caveat asterisk, she often has a great butt.
Yeah, and she always like wears like the it's just like it's like tights, and then she has like a jean top on.
Like, but
always showing off
tits.
The butt.
Yeah,
yeah,
always showing off that butt. Love it. So that's just a slight bonus.
She is God set power though, and like the Marvel universe, like there's a list, but like I would say she's like top 10 of like
the
strongest, most powerful,
and
things.
Like even without anybody's
Magneto's
powers,
also
she
in
can
there.
Fly. Mm-hmm. She has incredible strength, anyways. But yeah, dude, fucking just, man, Rogue's a great character. I fucking love Rogue.
Jubilee can do all those things,
Jubilee,
right?
Jubilee can do none of that.
Is not strong, cannot fly, and she can make fireworks appear. She can
fucking sparklers.
Slightly.
Not cool like mortar fireworks. She can make sparklers.
She's granted, she might not be as bad as Dazzler, which is a mutant that's even lamer. But Jubilee's like one of the worst. It's like that Family Guy sketch where like they all get powers and Meg's like, I can grow my nails long.
That's not even cool, adamantium nails. But no, in the world of like comics, you eschew me.
Sure.
But even I still am, I consider myself a comic nerd. I bought X-Men comics a lot when I was a kid. I collected the X-Men cards. I had X-Men figures. I loved X-Men.
Yeah.
I was also a big fan of Spider-Man.
That 94 cartoon on Fox was fantastic.
And the Spider-Man cartoon where
that's
he never
how
threw
I know
punch.
Gambit and Jubilee.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. The cartoon was actually pretty kick-ass. And I believe it's on Netflix right now.
That's in the cartoon and the comics. It was Wolverine and Jubilee were like the team.
Yeah.
But in the movies, they made it Rogue instead.
Which is
but
great.
But like that father-daughter bond was like him and Jubilee originally.
Yeah.
They changed it for the movies.
But yeah, I mean, I like Wolverine, as we said. And we're going to talk about
Logan. Can I say the Beast?
Oh,
the Beast. I love the Beast. Yeah. I mean, he was always like talking about poets.
I really enjoyed when Kelsey Grammer played Beast. Even though it's the worst X-Men movie.
Oh, it's not the worst.
What is worse, the next three?
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
You think? I think they're pretty close,
God.
Man.
No, it's not. It's not even close. I would say X-Men Apocalypse is below that.
Jeez, Apocalypse is bad. That's true. God damn it.
Last Stand, I think, gets a harder rap than it deserves.
These movies, man. Like,
it makes some
really,
really
what the fuck?
Bold, weird choices,
what
but
is
it's
up
not
with these
as
movies?
Bad.
Like,
they're all over the place.
I know.
It's because you have different studio heads at different points in time.
Is that really
they're
what it is?
They're trying to compete with Marvel, and then they're not trying to compete with Marvel, and then they're just going to do
I would
thing
like,
for...
I would like them to go... I wish that... I like Logan. I wish now that they have a big
spoiler.
Bunch of fucking tanks, and so they fucking go the Spider-Man route and just split with Marvel. Like, give Marvel control... And just fucking take an easy paycheck. Because Marvel knows what to do with this fucking shit.
It's actually really smart. And I don't want to disparage what they've been doing with Wolverine because I think it's been really good. I think consistently, like, even though the movies are up and down in quality. Wolverine's always a high note in each of them.
Absolutely.
They have Wolverine down. They've had him down. But because you're going to have to recast, because Logan ends Hugh Jackman's run.
Yes.
He is done. So you'd have to redo Wolverine or reboot it. And nobody wants to see another reboot so quick unless that news is Marvel's doing it. And he pops up in like a Marvel movie. Then I think people wouldn't be so upset if like Thor and Hulk are in a movie and Wolverine's also there to fight. Like and it's a new one. It's not Hugh Jackman anymore. I don't think people are upset. But if you try to reboot the same kind of story and keep Wolverine alone, I think people might get the Amazing Spider-Man route and get upset.
If they won, all right, so this is my total pipe dream. If they're going to give proper credence to revealing a new Wolverine, they should do it as the after credits scene in a Hulk movie.
Oh, so you tease their fight?
Well, or you just tease the appearance of a new Wolverine. But it also pays homage because the original Wolverine showed up at the end of a Hulk comic.
And they fought. Okay.
Yeah, you see where I'm going with this now?
Yeah, and I like that.
That would get your uber Marvel nerds to be like, all right, we got a new Wolverine, and he's showing up at the end to fight the Hulk.
All right, so here's what that's so good. I got the perfect end teaser. All right, so at the end of the Hulk movie, at some point in the movie, Hulk comes across some kind of, you know, a group of thugs and, like, roughs them up or whatever. And then at the end, and whatever, the story just finishes. It does whatever it's going to do. At the end, you see that same thug bruised up, but, like, still being a thug in, like, an alley or something. And, like, this figure comes to him. It's black. You can't see. And he pops down his hands, and three claws come out. And you just focus on the claws popping out, and it's done.
Again, that's cool. And it also ties in with the Hulk.
The
original appearance of Wolverine.
You it's don't announce great. It. You don't say anything fucking about it. But just a surprise one day in a movie.
Yeah.
Just you don't say anything about it.
I think if you're going to reveal
pants Wolverine, shot.
That's the way to do it, man.
Pooping myself with
that's
greatness.
The way you got to do it. So anyways.
What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about Logan. But we already talked about our favorite X-Men. So you and I saw Logan, what was it, like 3 days ago? 2 days ago? We saw it on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
This would be 3 days.
3 days ago.
Did you guys get popcorn?
I actually didn't. I thought about it the whole
Jujubes
way.
Jujubes or
didn't
Coke.
Popcorn. Nine.
Coke, soda.
Nope.
Nothing.
I didn't
Raisinets.
Don't
Here's the thing. Ryan and I usually don't get liquids in the movies because we both have very bad bladder problems.
Yep.
And we know we're going to pee if we do it.
I usually bring beer.
I have done that.
But like, yeah, I don't get liquids at the theater either.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you should. I mean,
I'll get a bottle
it
of water.
It supports the theater. I get it, but it's such a fucking ripoff
it's
to pay like $8 for 15 cents of actual popcorn. It's so inflated.
I buy the popcorn. I mean, the popcorn's good.
I don't know
good.
How you can
it's,
do that, though.
It's generally pretty good.
You're throwing your money away.
Yeah.
But you're at the novelty of the theater anyways.
I don't drink soda, slushies. Or
make your novelty sneaking food in.
Well, I do that, but I really like the popcorn. That's like the best experience.
I guess I see
of going to the movies.
You give me a lineup of treats. I don't go to popcorn. It's not like the thing I love. Any version of it. The closest is caramel popcorn. I think is fantastic. But
you're a sweet tooth guy, though, man.
Yeah, dang. I don't get into it.
Me and Andrea, we're the salt guys.
Salt.
Give me that salt, dog.
Oh, man.
I will fucking bathe
hot
in salt
popcorn.
Dry up like weather.
Bathed up in.
A burp. You hear that?
Yeah, that's good.
Keep that in.
Woo.
Bathed up in butter.
Yeah. I could do without the butter, but.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Give me that salt. I don't like it wet.
It's gross
when you take your fingers out and it's like yellowy goop on it.
It depends on if you have to share. Or not. I think. Well,
I'll tell you what.
So if you share, should it be wetter or drier?
I think he's saying
drier.
I worked at a movie theater when I was 16 to 17, and it was always the fucking fattest, grossest people that would buy the large popcorn. And then before I even filled it up, they would say, hey, will you put half in and then put that butter on and then fill it up and put more butter on?
Yeah.
Here's the fucking thing. That butter is literally just oil.
Yep.
It's fucking oil. It's not butter. It's buttered flavored fucking oil.
It's gross.
And they would just bathe in it. And I was, but it was my fucking game. I'd play it with the other people working concession. We would all try to guess, like, I bet this person asked for half butter. And then If you fucking got
you
it.
You can tell.
Yeah. You can tell always tell yeah. those fucking people.
You know.
But anyways.
That smell makes me gag almost.
We're going to talk about that Wolverine.
Movie, popcorn butter.
Ugh. We're going to talk about Logan as Wolverine after this bumper. So we're back. Holy shit. Ryan, get with me on my level. Buddy, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about motherfucking Logan.
Snakes on a Plane. Damn it. I missed it.
All right.
Shit.
That's the end of the podcast for me when we get to Snakes on a Plane.
Well, that's going to be our next Patreon goal. There we go.
$40
a month, we do Snakes on a Plane.
All right. If it's a Patreon goal, I'll do Snakes on a Plane. But if it's just you and me, fuck it. I'm not doing it.
I can't believe that's the movie you put your foot down. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to watch Snakes on a Plane. A movie that's very just average.
And it hits every note that I like where it fully knows what it is. I love movies that do that. Fuck Snakes on a Plane. I'm not talking about it right now, though. God damn it. Let's talk about Logan.
Logan.
We saw it 2 days ago. 3 days ago.
3 days ago we saw it. Yes. So we did see this movie. In case you didn't know, we saw it 3 days ago.
Did you guys get good seats?
Yeah. Very it was great seats, because we went on a Tuesday evening. There were like... Yeah. 10 people total in the theater, I'd say. Maybe 15.
It was a very small crowd.
Yeah, it was great.
Full price tickets?
No. That's the great thing about AMC. On Tuesdays, you get half price. It was $5 for an 8 o'clock showing.
If you're a Stubbs member.
If you're a Stubbs member.
Which he was. But
$5.
I only paid $8 for my ticket because I'm a student. Discount. I got a student discount.
Get out.
No.
That's great.
Yeah. It was not bad.
I like that you give more enthusiasm over the guy that saved $2 versus the guy that saved $5.
I'm improving myself.
I'm excited for everybody. Yeah. I think this is great that AMC is doing this.
Oh, it's $7 of saving. It's great for everyone. Sequel.
I like to go...
Socialism.
Sundays before 11, it's like $5 and a quarter.
I do like... Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of movies that way. It's good stuff.
And usually nobody's there because you got... Young folk
crowd.
Don't want to wake up in the elderly church.
So
you're right. So we saw this movie 3 days ago.
It is the swan song of Hugh Jackman.
Was it just the two of you
and Laura?
Did you take some girls?
He took his wife Laura.
Castles in the sky.
Mandy did not want to go. Not because of her normal reasons of not liking people. She just didn't really care about Logan.
I get that. I had to talk Laura into this one. It wasn't until she saw other people saying it's good that she get interested.
Mandy will go to weird. She doesn't really care about comic book or action movies, although she is fairly excited about Kong, which we will be seeing tomorrow and would have already seen by the time people listen to this episode.
Yep.
Logan, though, man. It is very, very, very loosely based on Old Man Logan. And when I say loosely based, it's primarily based on Old Man Logan in the sense that it is an old Wolverine going on one final adventure.
X-24 shows up, but I mean, there's some familiar characters, like very few, but it is not the same narrative, even remotely.
And there's no Hulk or no Hulk inbred children. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost checked out by that time. Anyways.
Well, I don't think that would work in the film. Mark Millar.
I know, I'm just fucking
Mark
saying.
Mark Millar is the worst when it comes to Marvel.
I think fans of the show will understand my appreciation for the Hulk and inbred children. So they know that if both those aren't involved. The second one was a joke, Ryan.
I didn't listen. I was I was thinking about my own thing over here. I'm being a really good co-host tonight.
You're doing
so good.
Stellar.
So good.
Stellar.
I've also noticed my face has not been on this mic like it was for the first episode, and now I'm just
he's doing his
all
thing,
over the face.
We blame Andre.
All over the
California
face.
Champagne
all over
for that
the
one.
Face.
So, all right, man. We talked a lot about in the beginning the. The rankings.
There was the word of God.
The rough rankings of all the other X-Men movies.
And the word was good.
First episode, Andrew Mike, great.
I'm so glad.
Second episode, Andrew Mike,
that microphone.
Terrible. I regret this entire decision.
So glad.
It was the worst decision ever.
I'm glad this wasn't a decision and it just happened.
All right, you fucking host this motherfucker. Talk to me about Logan.
So it's the ninth movie in this Fox series of X-Men movies.
Which is a pretty fucking big run. That's more than the Star Wars has had.
Movie wise, but I mean, span of time, Star Wars has it because I think the X-Men, you know,
Star
have
Wars
been around 17 years.
Eight movies, though.
Only
if you're
eight
counting
so far.
All the X-Men offshoots, which we are. Like,
I mean, you could include like the Ewok Christmas special or droids or like these other things. Or the Clone Wars was released as a theatrical movie.
Mm-hmm.
You got it there. So I wouldn't compare it to Star Wars, but it is close to that. It is something that's been going on. This has been a run longer than like Die Hard or Lethal Weapon. There's so many things, but this is the end
of one of the characters.
Sorry,
let me go.
Not the universe.
It's the end of two of the characters.
Yes.
Actually.
Well, it's. Yeah, I don't. That's a good point. This isn't just the end for Logan, which I guess you can keep making X-Men movies after Logan's gone. But like, this is also a fitting end for Charles Xavier's arc so far.
And
no spoilers, but like, his arc is finished at the end of this movie.
And, Patrick Stewart has he's done. Like,
yeah.
He saw this movie and he's like, I can give no better end to this character than this.
Yeah.
And I'm done playing him.
I wonder how or where you even go from here, where they leave you.
As much as it sucks, man, I think really at this point, if they're going to keep doing them, there's got to be a fucking reboot. I mean, it sucks
because
I fucking hate reboots, especially. But like, the nice thing about an X-Men reboot is that there is a lot of different backstories that you can get into rather than the fucking Batman or the Spider-Man or even the Superman, which... That's so fucking part of, like, pulp culture. You know what is happening there. You don't need to see it. You can just tell me a story in the Batman universe. I'll pick up that, I bet this fucking guy's parents have died, and he's doing this for an act of vengeance.
Yeah.
Or, I bet fucking Uncle Ben died, and there's a lot of fucking heavy pain there, and that's why he saves people now to make up for that.
Yeah.
I get that. X-Men, you can do it. There's so many characters that make up that team that you can do.
There's a lot of leeway.
Yes.
And this is why I kind of like the Marvel books, is like every 3 to 4 years they switch up the X-Men team. So like the movies have, and cartoon, they've all sought to like be like Beast, Cyclops, Jean Grey, maybe Iceman, Angel, whatever, Wolverine, Rogue.
I think that's considered
constantly
the gold team.
It is
by standards.
Close. It's like the original team was Iceman, Beast, Angel,
Cyclops
and Jean Grey, and that's it. Like, there was no Wolverine, there wasn't anything. But they've latched onto like a set of these 6 or 7 characters, and that's all they want to explore in a fucking universe that has, like, after the No More Mutants, where they got rid of like the large population of mutants, there were still like 300 or 400 different types of characters still alive. Like, the well is so deep. And I think we're getting that in some respect with, like, the Legion TV show. Like, did anybody even know that was an X-Men character? No. And there are so many X-Men that you can do, but they kind of go back to this well of let's do the same. So, with Logan, they're saying goodbye, it seems like. And as a goodbye to this whole franchise, the 9 films... Going in so far, Kyle, did you think it was a good or fitting end to the character and to the universe that they've established? Did you feel satisfied, like, spending these 17 years watching all these movies and seeing this universe, did you feel this was a good, a nice or fitting goodbye?
I'm glad you asked me this.
I tried. I'm trying to put my co-hosting up.
You're doing a good job, Ryan. You're doing a good job.
Honestly.
Thank you.
No.
You didn't think it was fitting?
No.
And
that's... I know.
I would like to... Yeah, I'm very interested.
This is great. I really enjoyed the movie. I feel that Logan hits all the beats that you expect it to.
Ooh.
Which is great. There were no surprises for me, I feel, in this movie. And I feel it was actually a little almost sort of, and I, it's probably not the right word, but I'm blaming Andre and beer. A week almost. In the way that he eventually, spoiler alert, we're fucking past it. He goes out. Logan dies at the end of this movie. Let's just put that out there.
So you think it's weak how he died, not what he died for?
Yes. I feel like Wolverine would, I don't know, like Logan would sacrifice himself anytime, but I feel like it should have been larger. I don't know. It's weird. Like, I get he's saving a group of kids from a murderous fucking clone, but I don't know. Like, maybe citywide or something. It's weird because I feel like, taking it back, the 19 or 17 years of movies have led us more towards this ending than the one I personally envisioned for Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is almost perfectly the way this Wolverine would end in this universe.
Okay.
I know, that's a whole lot to take in. That's a
very complex thing to unpackage here.
Again, I would like to also reference the fact Wolverine is my favorite character. I've said this many times.
I get that. I agree with some of the things you said, and I disagree with some of the things you said. And this is where it's going to get really hard to compact or unpack all that stuff. Is I agree with you that it did kind of hit the familiar beats or the beats that you kind of see coming. But I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think Lost, the end of Lost, does that. It hits the beats you want it to. It doesn't really surprise you. I think the end of Breaking Bad does that. It hits the beats that you know is going to happen. But like in these examples I'm bringing up, and you can disagree with me about the Lost one and whatever. Like, I'm not.
I actually fully agree with you with the Lost one. I feel it's very fan servicey. But that show has to be. But
yeah, anyways, I think this has to be kind of
this where
service-y.
We kind of disagree. And I don't think it's very.
And I think it ends thematically how it should. Like, I don't think there's a better way thematically to end it. So you're right. It's not like the biggest grand scale last stand that Wolverine has. It's a very small personal moment for a character who is
this Wolverine that they've had in this universe.
Who
and
is
that's why
driven
I say
by
in
emotions.
This universe, it fits.
Well,
he is a more smaller, more personal hero.
Yeah, but why would you want a different universe to be a send-off to the universe you've had? Like, they've sent that universe
and
the
again,
way it should
a lot
be.
Of my complaint is probably my own personal bias being as big a fan of Wolverine as I've had been my entire
life. It sounds
life.
Like
and
you
even,
might not have just been happy with this envisioning of Wolverine to begin
which
with.
Which is weird
really.
Because I love the Hugh Jackman version. Like, all of that. I really enjoyed Hugh Jackman's performance of Wolverine. I love in the first X-Men when he gets shot in the head with that bullet.
Oh, my
and
God.
It knocks
that's
him
X-Men
out.
Origins Wolverine.
No, it's not. It's the first one where he gets shot on the head in the porch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh.
And he goes... It knocks him out.
That's
and
the second one. That's X2.
Is that X2?
Yeah.
I swear.
I thought you were talking
one.
About the adamantium bullet, which is referenced in this one
for
some fucking reason.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And that again, that's a little bit of the smaller issues I have overall. Like,
okay.
But
the scene where he gets shot.
Oh yeah, that's X. I guess that is X2. And then
because Pyro's in there, it's Pyro's house,
and it knocks him unconscious. And then I just like the scene where he jumps back up, and all the cops are like, "What the fuck?" Because again, mutants are new in this universe. Like, they've never seen anything like that.
Put the weapons down. I can't.
Yes, but I also think it's a little dumb because I don't think a headshot to Wolverine would knock him unconscious. I get thematically why you do it in that movie because it makes
a
cool
scene
when he pops back up.
Yeah.
But honestly, like Wolverine would be like, what the fuck are you doing? But again, I can look past
that. Well, I hit him in the same spot where the adamantium bullet hit years
fucking
ago.
Retcon, bro.
I fucking hate first or Origins Wolverine.
Yeah.
I get that. I get that. I think Wolverine does good with what he can, and I think maybe you'll agree, but his role's kind of been confined to what works within a PG-13 X-Men film.
Yes,
and
that's awful.
And I don't mean necessarily just the violence, because there's violence in this, and
But Wolverine is after also, you see it, he's a very fucking mature character.
He's mature and he has a lot of rage. And you don't get baggage. To explore that with a PG-13. It's not the violence. It's the how deep you can go with that character.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, emotionally. And I think you're finally able to get a little bit of that in this movie before it ends. And I think I'm with you. Like, I love this movie. I don't have many complaints at all. But it would work a lot better if we had that Wolverine from the get-go and we had a build-up to this. I think this movie did the best it could fucking ever do, given the circumstances of what had happened before this. But I still think it's fantastic. But it is, I think it would be bolstered by a more true-to-comics Wolverine, a more...
And that again, defensive
Wolverine.
That's hard to do to
instead of the family bad boy Wolverine.
Yeah, but I had something else I was going to talk about here. I ruined this momentum. I do that a lot. You hit it yourself, but I hit it myself.
I just recently noticed that, like, the X-Men cartoon theme sounds a lot like some pop song of the same era. You guys ever notice this?
No. I never have. The X-Men theme to me screams power and weirdness and future.
Yeah. I'm going to think about it. I'll get back with you.
So... All right, can we talk about Stephen Merchant a little bit? I'd like to do that.
Yes, we can. He's in this movie.
Yeah, and he is so fucking good in this movie.
Why are you sending us text, sound engineer Andy?
We got to look at him later.
It's God damn it.
Cut. We're back.
Why are you not? Why are you paying attention to your phones right now?
I thought it was my wife who was going to be mad that I'm saying later. I thought there was going to be an issue, and I turn out... Oh, sound engineer is just sending us fucking links to shit.
Yeah.
I thought you
in
were
in the middle of an episode.
I thought you were a professional. Why would you look?
Why would you look? Get back to your job.
He's gotta do it with
looking at porn on your cell phone while ignoring us.
No. I agree with everything you said, Andrew. Don't listen to this hater. I'm gonna get him back on track. Stephen Merchant, goddamn it.
Nemesis.
Talk about him.
Merchant.
Stephen fucking Let's hear Merchant.
It. He's okay. I don't get him. I like the most I've ever been into Stephen Merchant was Portal 2.
Okay, I thought you were going to say It Eat Abroad, and I was going to be like, hey,
he's not
you know
really
he's
a part
Portal
of
2?
It. Yeah, he's not a part of it. It's him as Wheatley? Is that
yes,
Wheatley?
He's Wheatley.
Is it Wheatley?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I think that's great humor. Outside of that, I've not really been impressed.
He
like
also
the few
wrote
movies I've
like
seen him in.
90% of that dialogue for Wheatley.
Did he?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's great.
Fucking great.
Like the dry humor I get. And he does a little bit of that here. And this is a good to fine performance. But
I really enjoyed him. I thought, for me, he was the highlight of the movie.
I
did
really
not expect this from Stephen Merchant.
I didn't think they gave him much at all to do.
See, and I think that what they gave him to do, he fucking did great things with. And that's, I guess that's, again, our contrast. Like... I really enjoyed every time Calumet was on.
Caliban. Yeah, I mean, I didn't dislike the time he was on, but like in a movie where you have performances by Daphne Keene and Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman, see, all like really giving like
and that's
emotional range and depth, and like it's just it's a kind of comic relief character that's all he does.
I get that. But I think he's actually amplified by Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart. Like that scene where he's sitting with Hugh Jackman at the table and has that heart to heart, like, Logan, you don't talk to me. Just fucking talk to me, man. Like, let's work this out. And then he's like, when he's calling Logan on being sick, he's like, dude, I know you're sick. You didn't even fucking read that bottle that it says ibuprofen. Like,
yeah,
that I really fucking like that scene. That scene resonated with me more than almost everything else in this movie. Like, that was a really cool part. I like that.
I just don't know why. Because it's that adjunct filler scene to get you to, like, the emotional payoffs later. I don't understand why that scene would stick out, but I don't think it's bad.
Again, I think it's because of the human... Logan is obviously trying to just cut this fucking guy off, and this guy is... And it sucks for him because he gets taken advantage of this entire movie. But... He really wants to connect with Logan, and he really wants, you know, he can't connect with Professor X because, number one, Professor X is really fucking smart, and he just doesn't fucking respect this guy, even though this guy is trying to take care of him and make him as comfortable as possible. Like, I don't know. It's just almost like sad clown aspect of it. Like, you know, he's there for the relief, but everybody shits on this guy, and he's just trying to do the best that he can and make people happy.
You're describing Jar Jar Binks to me right now.
No,
that's what your description is.
Sad.
It is. He is the sad clown. He's the exile of his group who's there, who's only trying to make people happy and do the best he can, but he's ridiculed. He's the sad clown. You just described Jar Jar Binks.
How dare you, sir?
No, it's the same. I don't understand why Stephen Merchant would be the takeaway of this. I don't understand why he'd be the best
Number
character.
Number one, Stephen Merchant is not a racist stereotype.
What? How's he a racist stereotype?
Jar Jar Binks? I said Stephen Merchant is not.
Oh.
Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, okay.
Is.
I thought you said he is. No. I was like, I'm so confused.
He's not.
All right, no.
All right, so, I mean, well, we obviously have contrasting opinions on Stephen Merchant.
No, we really don't. Like, he's really good with what he has to
exactly,
do.
Exactly, that's all I'm saying. You're just concerned that why I focused in on that
yes,
scene.
Yes, why would you focus on that? Like, it's I don't understand
I don't know, I really liked the playoff.
I'm trying to probe into that. Like, what
Logan.
Got you there psychologically?
Again,
like, what keys
much
you
like
into that?
Almost everything that I can't explain why. Like, why is Punch Drunk Love my favorite movie? I don't really know. Just something, when I watched that part, turned in me. And I was like, I fucking like that. I can't really explain it, but there's something going on there. I like that interaction.
Interesting. Yeah, I want the back and forth, how quick it is.
It might be that. And again, I think it's because of the fact that he's reaching out to Logan, and he wants to reach out to Logan, and Logan is, again, just like he always does, shutting him off. But I don't know. Maybe it's just Stephen Merchant that it's just, I don't know. I like the way that it happens. So.
Okay. Oh, I really don't disagree with you. I wanna make that clear. I don't disagree with you. Stephen Merchant's good in this movie. I just, when we're talking about performances, I go to Patrick Stewart and Daphne Keene.
Patrick Stewart this is the best Professor X ever.
It's really good. His shifts between senility and like crystal clear awareness. His monologue right before his end is fantastic, and then how that ends and how quick and abrupt it is. It's almost like I keep saying 310 Cloverfield Lane because of 310 to goddamn Yuma.
I like 310.
It's
to
like
Yuma.
10 Cloverfield
Way more
Lane
than 10 Cloverfield
where
Lane.
Like something violent happens so quickly and unexpectedly, it just jars you, and like you get that moment with him.
Speaking of favorite character interactions, I think my other one, spoiler alert, is when Professor X is stabbed. And he's stabbed by a Wolverine clone. It's Logan, but he's X-24.
Dokken, but not Dokken.
Yeah, not Dokken. So I like when Logan is picking Professor X from the bed, and he's still not fully dead, but he's just telling him, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. I didn't do it.
Because that meant a lot to him to get that through.
Yeah, he wanted him to know, even in his last moments, it wasn't Logan that stabbed him.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. I really fucking like that playoff, too.
Yeah, no, that's and that's why I really, goddamn, I'm so drawn to this movie more than any other X-Men film. And I remember being like,
I'm
so,
liking it even more talking about it now after.
Like X2, like I remember like being like the high note forever, but like you go back to it and there's things that don't quite hold up. They're cheesy. I think the final act's a little weak and weird. But God, this movie like hits all the notes I wanted from an X-Men movie, which is like, yeah, show me some powers, but like really focus on the characters, like what it feels like to be oppressed or like scared or running or like whatever. And like that's here. They don't hit on like the mutant and proud shit that like X-Men First Class did so on the nose and so heavy. But like you do get like there's a very, very smart political undertone to this film. Like it's shot specifically in Texas. It's on the border between America in Mexico, and there's like some clever nods to that without the movie ever stopping and saying it's that. But it also provides this nice country western aesthetic, so you get like a movie that is a western but a superhero movie, and it teases that with like the showing of Shane.
I was gonna say,
and
it's
the eulogy.
Obviously a giant fan of Shane.
It is, and I think that's incredibly smart too, because I don't know if you know this, but like oftentimes comic movies, like this is a cool thing to do, is say, comic movies are really big now, but they're going to die off. Is this the movie that ends comic movies?
When is this bubble going to burst?
Yes, it's not going to burst. But like in this comparison, they always say it's the Western of our times. Like, it's for right now, and then it's going to stop. You just wait and see. Comic movies are just going to stop like the Westerns did. And they're always compared to that. So I think the movie reflexively makes a Western to kind of play with that idea and then end all... X-Men movies with this movie.
I want to play up what you said.
Thematically, it's so good, this movie.
I think comic book movies are at a peak right now, which means inevitably they will recede. They will never go back.
They're
to
never
the point
go
they were
away.
Pre-Spider-Man, yes. X-Men.
Yes. They will always be around. Yes. You fucking people don't remember. We lived through an Elektra movie. We lived through two Ghost Riders. We lived through two
Daredevil.
Shitty Punishers. We lived through a Howard the Duck. Four fucking bad Fantastic Four movies.
They've never
made
a good one.
We still keep going.
Horrible.
And so
we
all you people
saying...
We lived through
the Joel Schumacher Batmans, yeah. Even though I like Batman Forever.
All you people who want to get me about, like, I love Marvel, I'm, like, poopy on DC, I just named a ton of bad Marvel movies right there. Like, it's we've lived through a bunch of shitty movies. We'll still live through, like, the worst you give us.
Yeah.
Give us Batman v Superman 2, have it be even worse, we'll be okay. There's still going to be more Batmans.
Like everything, it's going to go in cycles.
Yes.
Comic book movies will recede. That's inevitable, and that's fine. I think it will start after somewhere a couple years after Infinity War, when we've lost all of the major Marvel characters we've grown up with and loved.
Oh, that gets me excited.
That's my own person. I get, but that's differences.
Then we get Falcon as Captain America. We get female Thor, and then we get new people. Isn't that exciting?
But check it.
To get people you don't know about from the comics.
To most comic fans, yes.
I think the audiences too.
I think to the average Joe, they're gonna latch on to what they like, and
disagree.
When that changes, no, I think people hate change, and that's why you get so many fucking bullshit sequels.
Marvel Studios started out of change. Marvel Studios started because Iron Man, and Iron Man was very different. Nobody fucking knew about or cared about Iron Man before that movie. I'm saying you do it right, and people will care. What's one of the best parts of Civil War? Fucking Giant Man and Ant-Man returning. And, like, who fucking even knew about Ant-Man
and
the year before? Nobody was a fucking fan of that guy.
I agree with you because one of their biggest movies of all time was fucking Guardians of the Galaxy, which is full of nobodies.
Yes. Yeah, nobody knows those characters.
And this is all personal. It's my experience. People like what they know, and now they know the Guardians, and when those change, it's going to take a drop. That's inevitable.
I don't think it will, because, and here's the thing, they're doing this smart long play where it's like,
we'll do three
Iron Man movies, but then we'll just have Iron Man pop up in these movies and let them grow. Oh, there's a new Spider-Man that we don't know about? We'll just put him in there for a little bit, and then people will be okay with this new change. That's the thing. Give us a Nova movie. We don't know who Nova is. It doesn't matter. Put fucking Rocket and Groot in there for a minute or two. People will be okay.
Like showing the new Wolverine at the end of a Hulk movie?
Right?
Oh, that's fucking genius.
You can take that idea.
Who came up with that idea?
We did. But seriously.
Give us credit, Marvel and Disney. Pay us.
Oh, no. I don't even care. Just make that and I'll be happy.
Just write my name on the credits.
No, I don't even care. make a movie.
I do. Put
just
my name
make
in
a
the
movie
credits.
Where Hulk and Wolverine fight. I'm fucking done.
Dude,
like,
that's
cool.
You
I'm
cannot
out.
Get a better fight scene than Hulk and Wolverine. That's why they're like two of the greatest.
What about
fucking
Hulk
rivalries.
Versus Silver Surfer? What about Hulk versus all of the Avengers in World War Hulk?
Who is more famous as a rival, the Avengers or Wolverine?
What does that mean?
I'm saying who has
there
Hulk
was
fought
a
more?
Comic book arc by Damon Lindelof that ran 6 issues where it was Wolverine versus the Hulk versus the many issues and times where the Hulk fought the Avengers throughout the comics.
But I'm saying he's fought Wolverine many times. He fights him in Old Man Logan. He's the first appearance of Wolverine.
Oh, it's because people think Wolverine is god-level power, but you're all fucking wrong, because the interesting fight would be like Doctor Doom versus the Hulk, or Silver Surfer versus the Hulk, or Hulk versus Galactus, or something fucking weird.
I would love
to
see Hulk
versus
Galactus.
Like, you'd have all these higher... get out of here. Get out of here with this shit. You don't know what you're talking about.
We fucking argue about Hulk constantly. I love it. Because you hate now that I love Hulk and Wolverine. Which... To my credit, though, I've loved them. I have loved them well before they became pop culture phenoms.
It's not. No, no. Here's the thing. It's not that they're the popular, easy choices, because I give you that. But they are the most simplistic in their fucking characters. No. They are both rage-filled monsters trying to compete with what they have. And that's it. Like, there's no more depth. It's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde
here's the thing.
A hope of redemption.
What I
love... You have so many more interesting characters.
No, what I love about Wolverine is that that is all that he is, but he constantly tries to succeed past that, and he is constantly outclassed. All that dude is a physical fucking fighter, yet he tries so hard to get past that. And I love a character with the heart that doesn't give up. He's routinely outclassed. Like, Magneto can whoop that dude's ass, but
so
he will not back down.
You're describing Spider-Man, though.
Oh, Spider-Man, I love Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
I have never denied I love Spider-Man.
The character, though, if you're talking about like best characters, he is the character with heart.
Yeah,
that won't give up. I don't think that's Wolverine. Wolverine has a fucking advantage. Like, Wolverine's not gonna give up because he doesn't get hit.
No,
Spider-Man is a kid that can get killed and is a fucking kid
going
out of his way in danger. Like, that's more moving.
I love Spider-Man. I'm not
Captain America, who you shit on for being white bread,
Captain America.
Is the most heartfelt character
Captain America.
Who refuses to do the bad thing or the easy thing. Who's had, like, the worst fucking life.
Here's my thing. You know, again.
Oh, I'm a scientist and I experiment on myself. Now I'm a poopy rage monster versus a guy who fucking grew up in the goddamn depression, who got frozen in ice only to wake up to everybody he loved is dead or old and fucking shitting themselves. Decrepit old. And that's
old is
his
the worst.
Life.
I want to fucking school you. I'm not really. No, it's funny. Man, I had a point about Captain America, and I tried to make it like twice, and now I forgot it because you kept raging.
He's the best.
He's not the best. I don't hate on Captain America as much as I maybe lead on in this
the
show
best,
because I like to work you up.
The best movie scene of all time is Captain America jumping on that grenade.
One of.
Steve Rogers jumping on the grenade.
You say best.
That's
I
the
say
best.
One of.
That's the best comic book it's, scene.
It's pretty
the best.
Good. It's pretty fucking good. Not going to deny. All right.
It's so good.
No, I love Spider-Man, though, too, man, for real. Always love Spider-Man. Yeah. Spider-Man's a great character. You know, the third reason I like him, which you didn't bring up at all, is Spider-Man talks so much motherfucking shit.
That's not why I like him.
That's why I like him, though. That's another reason I love Spider-Man.
Yes.
Because, man, he talks shit constantly, and I love shit talking.
I mean, I like that. Don't get me wrong. It's not one of the reasons I love him. But, like, I do like Deadpool, so I do like the shit-talking heroes, and Green Arrow is the same way.
But Deadpool is more of a sarcasm, whereas... I guess Spider-Man is too, but Spider-Man, it's more... Deadpool's a lot more self-deprecating.
Yes.
Whereas Spider-Man is much more at the expense of who he's fighting.
Yo, absolutely. I think Civil War nailed it, where Spider-Man is more, like, just overtaken by it all, and he just can't help but talk because the excitement and, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, I'm just trying to keep up. And
you,
like,
so you are reading Civil War 2. I do have one
question. I finished.
All right, is this... Is Spider-Man Miles or is it Peter Parker?
In this one, it is Miles.
It is Miles.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've not read much of this this arc because I guess the Marvel Universe got rebooted just recently.
What?
Yeah, there was Doctor Doom took control of everything. Like he took a Watcher's power or something and just reset the universe.
That dude always takes control of
the
gods.
Doctor Doom's like the villain
in
the Marvel universe.
He's
like he's
the
best
in the Marvel universe.
You wouldn't know it by the movies, which is have him like be a rich fucking white man who is a petty, jealous scientist.
He's diet Batman.
It's really bad.
But no, Doctor Doom, I think in the Marvel ethos, he is, if not the smartest, he's easily the second smartest character.
Yeah.
And like Tony Stark is like fifth.
Yeah. He's smartest. Then Dr. Richards.
Yeah. Reed Richards
you can
is second.
Banner, Pym, and Tony Stark depends on how you write
them. I generally think Banner is below Stark.
It depends on who's writing.
Yeah.
But those three are always in the top five somewhere.
But yeah,
and like, now there's Amadeus Cho who's up there and there's another
get out of here. I don't
genius
care.
Level mutant. But anyway, they reset the universe. And what was I talking about? The universe resetting. Why was this?
Civil War and Miles.
I guess when they reset the universe, not super familiar with it, but in one of the versions, Venom has successfully killed Peter Parker he's dead.
So is this this
and
whole
is now wearing like his tattered Spider-Man outfit, like as a cape, running around.
Okay, I've been reading recently a lot about how Venom is infecting everybody in the Marvel universe. Is that what this is tying into?
Yeah, it's like a separate arc.
Okay,
it's weird. They have a because of it's the Battle World. This is or the thing Secret I hate Wars. About comics. Like it's the.
This is
what they're
I
doing
hate.
Now is like the Infinite Crisis, where there's 52 different universes, and here's a story from Universe 1, but here's the universe for Story 3. It's all very confusing.
Yes.
It is.
So what would you say, let's just tighten this up, what's your favorite scene in Logan?
That's a good question. I think emotionally... The end, I think,
okay,
is
thank you.
Fucking perfect.
I'm glad you brought this one up, because I would say this if not you. But when she turns that cross to the side, as you cannot write a better ending than that. That is fucking
it's
perfect.
And this is how why I compared it to Breaking Bad is like, well, maybe that's the obvious, easy thing to do.
It was perfect.
But it needed to be done. It made the film like tie into like the whole universe.
Yeah, it was
it's
circular.
Nice,
it finished it. And yeah. Honestly, I didn't see that coming.
No, it's the thing that happens and you don't know you want it, but when it does, you're like, that's exactly what I wanted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think that scene is perfect. If you're asking for like my favorite bit of action, something easier to talk about, like I think the initial hideout confrontation that turns into the car chase, I think is really well done.
My favorite was the whole casino when Professor X flips out.
Yeah, I can see that.
That was fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that they explained earlier on that Wolverine is not as affected by these things as normal people.
Yeah.
And I like that there's the small tie-in that X-23 also wasn't as affected, but I think it affected her more as a child. But she was still moving too and trying to help out.
Well,
I like that they showed
here's,
that.
Here's how I interpreted the scene, and this might be wrong, but... Anytime the mutants heard it, like, they were hurt, but they could still move, but the humans were kind of paralyzed.
But it affected Caliban, too.
He hurt, and, like, he was moving, but, like, he was in pain, but he was moving. Like, when Xavier flips out in the hotel, all the humans are, like, frozen in motion. And it makes me think it's, like, what he was doing in X2, where he could control, like, just one side. Like the opening scene, he froze time for everybody. And,
except for Nightcrawler.
Yeah, except for the mutants. And I think maybe that's what was happening was, like, that was, like, a neural pathway in his head that was, like, going off.
Fair enough.
When he was having the seizure, stroke, whatever it is. But that's a fucking guess. They kind of leave it a little ambiguous, but it does make for a really cool scene. Very visually different, like a very quiet fight scene. Like,
yeah.
There's no choreography, but it is still, like, really neat seeing him, like, slowly work through these people and then killing them, like, as they're frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
I like that one a lot.
What exactly... Because I feel like I'm up here. I'm, like, at a 10 with this movie. Like, I really do think this is, like, one of the best superhero movies. We've had in a long time, and
okay,
I love the Marvel movies so much.
To say ever?
No. Like, I love Civil War and Deadpool and all this, but I think this movie
Spider-Man
does
2.
Everything right. Like, it does. What with Spider-Man? What
I said, Spider-Man 2.
Oh yeah, Spider-Man 2 is fantastic.
It's one of the best movies ever. That fucking movie is great.
Yeah, are we talking about scenes that make me cry, like Steve Rogers jumping on the grenade in the subway?
Yeah.
Oh, when
yeah.
he's held up and taken back and his face is shown, and it's like, and he's just a kid.
Yeah.
He's no older than my daughter.
It's fucking great.
It makes me fucking tear up, that sacrifice.
Okay,
yeah.
Anyways,
all
right. Sorry.
Let's do a Spider-Man 2 podcast.
I would love it.
In the future.
I
love that movie. But it's one of the best. I think it ties together everything you need. It has... the spectacle, and maybe it's not like the most, but like this is Wolverine in a way you've never seen action wise. I think X-23, the little girl, Daphne Keene, is amazing for her fucking age.
Yeah.
Like this is an absurd performance that she performs 60% of the movie, like dead silent. She doesn't even fucking talk for most of her performance and it works. But she also has like a physicality that you buy her as a threat. You buy her as a legitimate threat next to Wolverine. And it's a nice, fitting send-off for these characters, and it's very emotional. I did not personally cry or tear up, but, like, I thought it was very moving, Patrick Stewart's ending. I thought the X turning, like, it was close. It was like I was almost goosebumps. Like, it was very close.
I think you didn't because, and this is the point I brought up, it hit the familiar beats. You Maybe. Knew that was coming. You expected those things. Not to say that they are bad, but it takes away the surprise and a lot of the emotional hit.
It could.
And I think that's the way it was for me. And again, not that it's bad,
yeah.
but it's not a surprise. There's not a wrench on your heart. Like, you don't hurt because of it, because it's expected. But it's not bad. I've said that three times, but mm-hmm. that's... It's really.
The it just point. Kept you. It's not bad, but it kept you from loving the film.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I think we could both agree it's a really solid, oh, yeah. really and good, you really well done film. See it.
It's a great film.
But
it's
there's
fun.
Just like a little thing holding you back from loving it. And that's understandable.
And that I'm not going to have the same response as a lot of other people.
Yeah.
But as a guy that's seen a lot of movies and is a fan of movies as an art, a lot of this I saw coming. So.
Yeah. It's always been...
Yeah.
I agree with you. I am going to devil's advocate a little bit here.
Please do.
Because I've always been of the mindset, like, it doesn't matter what the story is or how predictable it is or whatever. It's the craft of how it's told.
Sure.
And
that's a big part.
And I think this is told very well, and I think it's told masterfully cinematography. I think it's masterfully acted. Like, I forgot... just how good Patrick Stewart was.
I've never
And then I saw Logan, and I was like, oh my God, it is such an incredible thing that they got this guy
to
play Professor Xavier. And like, this is a fucking actor.
Not only,
so good.
Dude, who the fuck do they have as Magneto?
Ian McKellen.
I know!
Just as good,
Holy
right?
shit!
And
how did you pull this shit?
Even you go, like, the lesser two,
yeah.
the younger two,
James
you still
McAvoy.
Got Fassbender and McAvee.
Fassbender.
And
Holy shit, dude!
They're fantastic pulls.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's remarkable. And a lot of that, they get by and just, like, being good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in this movie with Patrick Stewart, I remember, like, this is a fucking thespian. Like,
yeah.
this guy knows how to fucking act. And this is Oscar-worthy material.
He
it's
lost.
Never going to get it because it's a comic book movie. But, like,
well,
what he's doing here, I think, is Oscar-worthy.
If he died from a drug overdose, he would have got
he
a
would.
Nod.
Yeah, he'd get a nod.
that's,
and that's
sad.
It. That's it.
That's
in
sad.
Day and age.
But he lost 30 pounds for this role. Do you know that?
Did he? I yep. didn't know that.
Yep, he lost 30 pounds. And every time that he's being carried, it's actually Hugh Jackman carrying him.
So sweet.
Isn't it? It's pretty badass.
It is badass, but like then I think back to Wolverine picking up Logan or picking up Xavier. I'm like, ah, it's sweet.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
It's the way it should be.
This film did everything right for me.
Again,
it played on the family theme and dynamics.
I just felt it was if my one complaint, it was
sure.
I knew it was coming.
What did you think about X-24 being just a younger Logan?
That was fucking great. I wasn't expecting that, really, and I thought it worked really well.
I was not expecting it. It was my one little nitpick.
If I'm going to nitpick, I'll give you my one little nitpick, the whole bullshit with the family at the farm.
What about it?
It was all so stupid and fucking pandering and tacked on, I felt. It was, let's feel bad about these people, and let's show Wolverine helping out the little man, and then... Oh, none of this made any point. Like everything else.
Oh,
Wolverine's
it made a
life.
Point, dude. It was a turning point. It's the being there with the family, so you know what you've been missing. It's needed, and it's the nice lull before the surprise.
That's what it was. It was,
and
the nice
that's what
lull.
It is. It's
yeah.
a lull, but it's intentional.
Again,
it's there for a reason.
Yeah, and it
and
that to me is again playing way more into that predictability camp. Like I was like, come on.
See, I
oh, is he gonna die? I bet you. And
I
his wife too.
I disagree in the yeah, fact that but. Like I was so up to the movie, like so 100% on board, and then Xavier dies. That whole scene resolves, and then you have like Hugh Jackman and the girl going on their trip, and that's where I thought the movie kind of lulled a little bit.
I agree
so.
With you too. So all right, so I didn't like the family, and I had one other thing in this
family.
Movie I didn't like.
Well, that's my Vin Diesel. Family.
It's pretty
family.
Good. It's not bad.
It's bad.
My Vin Diesel is... No, it's not under the voice,
I
but you can have any beer you want.
As long as it's a Corona.
Is that Fast and Furious 1?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Bro. Yeah, it is.
You guys, let's take Fast and Furious back. It's a good movie.
It's just such
I really enjoy it. But anyways, I have one other thing in this movie outside of the family that I didn't like, and I want to see how you feel about it, too.
Okay.
And it was the last, like, 10 minutes of the movie when the fucking kids cut his beard into the sideburns. I thought it was really tripe and really fucking dumb, and I get why they did it, because you got to bring it full circle, but...
Yeah.
It was really forced. I didn't really just... It made me groan a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe I'm fucking stupid, but, like, I've read so many comics. I don't, in my mind, I don't see Wolverine with the mutton chops, because, like, yeah. He's not always portrayed that way. So when it happened, I didn't even know they were doing anything intentional. I was like, why is there a shot of the kids fucking with his beard? Like, this has to be here for a reason. And it, like, stuck with me for, like, a few minutes. I was like, oh, wait, did he have, like, mutton chops in the cartoon? Is this what this is?
Well,
is he had mutton chops?
This is me interjecting as a big fan and read massive amounts of X-Men and Wolverine. It's not always as embellished as full mutton chops, but Wolverine is always shown with some pretty big sideburns.
Okay.
Maybe not all the way to the mouth as mutton chops, but they come down pretty fucking far. But he also has a pretty generous 5 o'clock shadow because he's a hairy-ass dude.
Well, I think at that point they should have either taken it further or not put it in. Like, why did he still have the mustache?
Yeah. No, they cut the mustache, too.
Did they cut the mustache?
Yeah, they
I
sure
guess
did.
I don't remember. Yeah, he was still pretty 5 o'clock shadowy.
He was
still pretty
fucking
dark.
Awesome with that full gray, half-gray beard. Like,
yeah. It was okay.
I just thought it was a little, it was a little, I was like, man, this is so dumb. Like, again,
just side note, are you also the person when Loki turns into Captain America and Thor the Dark World? Like, are you the guy who's like, fuck, that's for, I don't like that. Why is he in this movie?
No.
Well, then what made you not like this? Because it's the same kind of fan service-y thing where it's like, if you catch it, it's there. If not, you know, it's no big thing. It's literally 30 seconds in a movie.
But see, I felt it was a lot longer than 30 seconds. And again, it didn't add anything, even fan service-y wise. Like, we've had old man bearded Logan. Let's finish with this dude that's run down.
I should have given him a costume.
I think they were just, again, it
you
was
you can't
like,
give this Wolverine a costume in this universe, sadly, but
no.
If the final shot was like him going down in Glazed of Glory in the old yellow and blue, I'd been so down.
God damn, I love that.
Or
you
the
said,
yellow and tan one.
I love that you just said
okay.
Glaze of Glory.
Did I say Glaze of Glory?
You sure did. But no. If I'm gonna get one in a movie, I prefer yellow
guys,
tan.
I'm dyslexic.
Rather than yellow black / blue.
You got the yellow brown one?
I love the yellow brown look of Wolverine.
I don't.
I know. And that's again
the yellow and blue pop so
much. And as much as I am a fan of the green and
do
purple
you like
that
the,
pop.
The stealth Secret War one, the gray and black with the red eyes.
That's not bad.
I like that one.
Which
that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty okay one.
So, which Wolverine claw do you like better? Wolverine movie where they're knives, or Wolverine pre movie where they were the like almost chopstick style, like pokers?
It's an interesting question. I like the knives visually. I think it's going to be a lot easier to draw the pokers,
well,
so that's why they're so prevalent.
They
moved.
I mean, as always happens when the movies get huge, Wolverine, he has the claws now. I'm sorry, the knives. They're more of a knife shape than a pointer, which is, that's fine. It's what people are familiar with. I like it, too. I think it's much more threatening.
Yeah.
And so I think it's cool. I also like kind of more that they come out of the middle of the knuckle, whereas in the comic
they come out above.
It gives this is a much more intimidating image, the fist. And then you add knives to that. Like, holy fuck. It's cool. So
yeah, I agree. You know what else is cool? As a kid, I used to tape dinner knives, the butter knives to my hand in the three, like Wolverine. And I used to go around and go like, I'm Wolverine.
Well, would you actually say Wolverine?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I love you. You're my favorite person in this world.
Yes.
God damn it. God.
Because I loved Wolverine as a kid.
Laura is such a lucky
woman. I grew up and I learned about better fucking heroes.
Laura, you can do so much better. Dump this idiot right now.
I'm the worst. But seriously, I am. Please send in your emails if you want Ryan kicked off this podcast. Just send them to facebook.com/
Kick Ryan
Experience Grind Podcast. I guarantee you what. Sound engineer Andy will beat you to it.
Hashtag.
Can you say it one more time? I'd like to write it down.
I'll make it easier for you.
Nice and slow this
Hashtag fire Ryan. That's all it is.
Fire Ryan.
Hashtag fire Ryan.
I like it. Yeah.
No.
I'm out.
I don't know why, dude. I'm sorry. I like Superman and Hulk and Wolverine. It's what I fucking identified with.
Who's the strongest that I like them?
If it was the strongest, it would be different than Hulk. It'd be
Hulk is the strongest.
No, he's not. He could potentially be, but
he's the strongest because he just gets angry and loses and gets stronger.
Autistic guy that consistently beats him, like
the Hulk.
World War Hulk. He's not.
Who's autistic?
Ant-Man. Paul Rudd.
The superhero that's like the Marvel version of Superman, but he's like trapped in his own mind.
Oh, is it Sentry?
Yeah, Sentry. Yeah. Yellow and black.
Yeah, Sentry.
Sentry. That's who they eventually...
I guess he was. He had a spell of autism, as happens in comics. There were a few years where he was a little autistic, but he got better.
If there's ever a Sentry
he
movie,
got better.
If it's not played by Ryan Gosling, I'm out.
Oh, that's a good choice.
It's a reference to our Drive episode where he's on the spectrum.
I like Ryan Gosling.
I love Ryan
Gosling.
We all love
Ryan Gosling.
I think we're all on this page.
We can change our name to Ryan Gosling Podcast.
.org.
Podcast.com.
Kyle. What's up, buddy?
Kyle. If you could cast Ryan Gosling
as any superhero,
who would you pick? Who would you pick it to be?
All right, we've already established Sentry. Would actually not be a bad choice.
Sentry's pretty good.
Give me one second here. Honestly, weird as it may seem, maybe Reed Richards.
I think that's a really good choice.
I don't think that would be bad. I think he could do a lot with that character.
You know what? Let's just make a La La Land. Let's do him as Reed Richards. Emma Stone as the Invisible Woman.
All right, I'm fucking into that, dude.
Sue Storm.
I really like Emma Stone.
But yeah.
Just quick off the top of your head, who would you choose? Ryan Gosling to play as.
Honestly, you said that now, and I think that's
it really works really
good.
Well.
I'll go a little bit more interesting, and I'll twist it. Make him Dr. Doom.
Fucking A, goddammit, you
beat
me!
Dr. Doom.
I would love to see Ryan Gosling as Dr. Doom.
But he could do fucking anything.
Yeah, all right, you got me.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right, fucking congratulations.
Thank you.
Either of those choices. Marvel, if you cast him, we get credit.
Or just make it happen because we want to see that.
Both of those are fine. All right, man.
Or he's the new Wolverine.
So, goddammit, quit making my penis harder. Speaking of making it harder, Ryan, would you recommend Logan to the average listener of Experience Grind?
Yes, I think it's a good movie no matter what. You're not going to be disappointed that you spent money on it. It's good. If you have been a fan of the X-Men universe with the movies going far, I think you're going to really like this movie a lot more than other people, but yes.
Two-part question, and I think we're going to start doing this from now on the show. Would you recommend Logan to sound engineer Andre?
No.
No?
I like this question.
I think it works, right? That's a good question.
Maybe because of the Western themes.
I really like the X-Men cartoon series.
Logan is
I love
such
that.
A far step from X-Men, but I don't know. I'm 50-50 on it.
This is like a sad John Wayne movie where John Wayne has cancer and he's just dying. That's what Logan's like.
I would also recommend...
If you like that kind of thing.
I would recommend Logan to all the listeners. I also think I agree with you. I don't think Andrew would like Logan. Just saying, Andrew like I do,
We'll keep track of this. So we have two, I would not like it.
Yeah. So now you kind of almost have to watch it.
Yeah.
I'll
check it out. But
I think on that note, we both said multiple times that you would hate Drive, and you've not yet watched Drive.
Well...
our record's pretty good.
You gave it to me on Blu-ray. I don't have a Blu-ray player.
Oh, okay.
It's not on Netflix. I haven't seen it on anything
else
yet.
When it comes up, you'll be the first to know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say, guys. Check out Logan. I really enjoyed it, even though I kind of sounded like I didn't on this podcast. It's easily the best non-Marvel.
Usually the spot I'm in where yes. It's like, I liked it. Like, believe me, I liked it, but there's issues.
It's easily the best non-Marvel movie I've seen in the last decade.
Yeah, depending on what you want. Deadpool gives me something else I want. This hits really a different itch.
Deadpool was like my number two last year. I will say that.
They're very different.
Yeah. And that teaser for Deadpool was a real treat. Mm-hmm. But anyways.
Very excited.
Ryan.
What?
Take us out, please.
Out.
Do butt stuff to each other, everybody. We love you. Bye.
Hi, this is Ryan, and if you liked what you just saw or listened to, please check us out at experiencegrind.com. Find us on facebook.com/experiencegrind, at Twitter, over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle's tweeting out a lot of stuff all the time. And then you can always find us, our podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitch, or even on YouTube. Find us, just search Experience Grind Podcast. We don't have a channel yet. Stuff super easy to find. But please subscribe. We'll get there to you, make it even easier. And as always, if you like what you saw, we cover mini games and episodes every week. There's sure to be something you love. And as always, grind out.
The beast.
All right, so here it is.
Here. Oh, it is!
Na, 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 na. Yeah. That is good.
Yeah.